So we're the worst.
not how I expected that to start, but...
But we're back!
You know, that really just covers it all, and we should just end the episode here.
Yeah, or just dive right in, maybe. Or else we'd be just wasting everyone's time.
In case you happen to just randomly stumble across our podcast and start with this episode, one, we're really sorry, but two, welcome to Friday Night Dinner with Morgan and Rochelle.
I'm Morgan.
I'm Rochelle. And we are the worst.
I forgot my line there for a second. You're like, it's my only job is to be like, oh, this is my name. I am the worst.
It's all right. We're the worst. Welcome back, Morgan.
Hi.
Sorry. We've been MIA. Life is crazy. But here we are. Someone actually messaged us literally the other day and was like, we will pay you to make more podcast episodes. And in my head, I was like, first of all, that's the nicest.
Second of all, are you like a millionaire?
Yeah.
Because if that's the case, I will accept your money.
Yes, we will quit our full-time
and
jobs.
And your charity.
but then secondly, I was like, I told Morgan from the very start of this podcast, I in no way want us to ever be paid for this podcast because that's too much pressure.
Well, yeah. Okay. Number one, it's too much pressure. Number two, like, I feel like I would just feel guilty that anyone actually wants to pay to hear us.
Oh my gosh. We literally sit in your living room. We're sitting on Morgan's bed right now while Nugs naps.
I just don't understand how I could charge for this.
No, you cannot pay us for the $1 editing software that I use to piecemeal these episodes together. And our rambling.
Yes, I don't understand.
We appreciate the sentiment, but it's just never going to happen. So, this is what you get.
Yep.
We have a lot of emails to cover.
Yep.
Before we have emails, any updates you want to give?
Okay, so I'm really excited about this. It's been a while since we've recorded, obviously. So myself, Rudy, and Nugs, and Rochelle's and I's parents, we're going to the UK.
Without me.
I know.
It's all right.
I get
it.
She was invited in my
defense.
It's
fair. It's fair.
I had requested the time off work 2 years ago because it was like pandemic.
Yeah.
I was just about to have Amelia. I was so sick of being stuck like in the house and then going to work. I was like, I have to plan a vacation. I'm like, 2 years from now, hopefully this will all be over.
Yeah.
We can go, right? So I requested the time off ages ago. My boss thought I was insane. And I requested like 3 weeks off. And originally I wanted to go to a few different places. And then it kind of got closer and closer, and I was kind of waiting to last minute to make sure that everything was still fine. And then I was like, okay, now we finally got to plan something, or it's going to get too late to plan anything. And so I had to kind of settle for one country.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to London, like, just forever. I'm obsessed with British everything and anything.
It's true.
We're going to go to London, and then Scotland, and then go back to London. We're going to be there for 15 days.
So much fun.
And I'm so excited. I will make sure to take pictures and post on the podcast Instagram. And yeah, that's my life update. I'm really excited, you guys. We're going end of May through the beginning of June.
And if you live in either of those areas that Morgan mentioned and you want to send recs to her or
them,
that's always,
I'll
think, helpful.
Any recommendations.
Yeah. Food.
Holla at your girl.
Bevies.
That
all
sounds
that
weird
stuff.
Coming out of my mouth.
Girl, yeah, let's never say that again.
Never again.
On this podcast.
Never again.
They couldn't pay us to say that
I'm
again.
I'm really excited, you guys. I'm really hoping that I develop an English accent in the short time I'm there. I'm hoping that maybe if I like force Amelia around people, she'll get an English accent.
That'd be the best.
I mean, it's only 15 days, so probably not.
Right.
But like, I'll just
immersion,
force her.
Immersion.
I'll like have her watch a bunch of Peppa Pig afterwards or something. Because I told Rudy, I was like, my only goal is for one full day in London to not have everyone know that I am an American tourist. I'm like,
100%.
I do not want to be an annoying American tourist. I'm like, don't be an idiot, Morgan. I'm like, all I want to do is pass for a British person one day in the whole trip. So we were like chatting to each other in a British accent this morning. His British accent, I'm like,
you'll never pass.
I'm like, it's never going to happen.
You shall not
pass. I'm like, if I'm around you, they'll know because your British accent is so bad. It's like, oh, bah, bah, bah. I'm like, you don't even sound like you're speaking English. I'm so confused.
Like, actual English.
I'm like, you sound like Amelia right now.
That's
like,
amazing.
Your words make no sense.
While we were gone, I turned 30.
Yes, Rochelle.
Which was exciting.
Dirty,
flirty, and
she
starving.
Left me for it.
I did. We went to South Carolina because I wanted to go somewhere I'd never been. So we stayed in Myrtle Beach, which was really fun. We went to North Carolina for a day because If y'all don't know, Morgan and I are also big fans of One Tree Hill. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I have to go to Wilmington.
I'm not gonna lie. I haven't seen past season 5.
Although Nate is like my all-time crush, so I do enjoy him as an older.
James Lafferty.
Yeah, he's a
beautiful aged human. Really well.
He really did.
I was looking at a picture him in like something recently, like him on another. It was like he was like with a couple people at like a dinner. I don't think it came up on Instagram or something. I was like, wow, he aged really well.
He is a beautiful human inside and out. Like, he's just a really good person. And I love him. So I really wanted, I didn't realize they removed the River Court after filming. I wanted to go there.
How depressing is that? Why would they do that?
Also, it didn't happen, but that's okay. We got to go anyways to Wilmington and walk the River Walk, and that was really fun. So did a Ghosts and Graveyards tour in Charleston. Cool. Highly recommend doing a Ghosts and Graveyards tour in an old city like Charleston. So much history, so many crazy stories. One of them was actually about Edgar Allan Poe and the girl he wrote Annabelle Lee about.
Oh, so awesome. So
she's like one of the ghosts that roams Charleston.
In her sepulcher by the sea?
Well, sepulcher by the sea. She lived in Charleston, which is a water city. So really cool. Highly recommend. It was a lot of fun. So turned 30. That was exciting. I'm really excited to be 30.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good decade.
Oh my gosh, she's so old. I'm so old.
Okay, let's get to emails because you all have wrote to us. I finally just responded to most of you because we're the worst. But I'm going to read some of them on the pod as well. So this one is from, I believe it's pronounced Lee, but she literally wrote it. Hello, ladies.
We really
My
are
name
the worst.
Is Lee, just, pronounced Lee.
Just to add to our embarrassment about how bad we are.
And I just discovered your podcast and blew right through them, and it makes my drives to work so much better. My favorite characters have to be Luke, Emily, Lane, Paris, and Jess. And I absolutely cannot stand Christopher and sometimes Lorelai and Rory.
Hold on, pause. Who are her favorite characters?
Luke, Emily, Lane, Paris, and Jess.
You just named like half of the people in the show.
But notice, she says,
my favorite characters are Lorelai, Rory, Luke, Lane, Paris, the French guy, Zuki. I'm just messing with you, Lee. Those are good choices.
Yeah, actually. All good choices. All ancillary characters, which are the best. I absolutely can't stand Christopher and sometimes Lorelai and Rory.
Good. Okay,
highly
I agree.
Sometimes in the last episode... or something in the last episode that I wanted to bring up is when Chris and Lorelai talk about Sherry, and Lorelai says that if Sherry is in Rory's life, then she is in her, Lorelai's life. And Chris points out that Lorelai didn't do the same with Max. I personally don't think Chris has any place to make that comparison. Lorelai was the one who raised and supported Rory, and she did it all on her own. She worked full-time, went to school, and raised a child, while Chris was pretty much a glorified babysitter. I grew up with a young single mom similar to Rory, and would be appalled if my dad had made that claim. Similarly, when Strobe blames Lorelai for throwing Chris's life away, as if Chris made all these sacrifices for Lorelai and Rory, when in reality, he didn't. His life didn't turn out the way his parents wanted because of Lorelai and Rory. Chris was 100% responsible for the way his life ended up. I'm currently at the end of season 7 in my rewatch, and I have so many feelings about Luke and Lorelai's breakup. I just got to the part where Lorelai apologizes to Luke, and it is how much more Luke should share the blame. Shutting Lorelai out was so not the right way. If you want to marry someone, I feel like you should be willing to include them in those kinds of important things. Anna being so controlling about who's around April was so mishandled as well. Mm. Anna clearly had a hard time adjusting to having to co-parent, but there was no openness to getting to know Lorelai at all. Lorelai never overstepped or tried to overstep Anna. She knew her place as a potential step-parent, and it was unfair for Anna to be so unreasonable. Sorry for the long rant, but just a few of my thoughts. Love the pod. I'm so glad I can be a part of the pod fam. Hope all is well and everyone is healthy. Lee.
Thanks, Lee. Yeah, I like how you drew the compare. I like how she drew the comparisons about Luke and Anna versus Lorelai and Christopher. And it's totally different. It's true because it's not like Luke even knew that he didn't even know his daughter existed. It's not that like Chris full on knew that Rory existed.
Yeah.
And didn't really try at all to be in her life. You know what I mean? And I think it's also, I don't know if we have harped enough on Strobe about like, the fact that, he acts like she ruined Christopher's life. But it's
I know.
How did she ruin your son's life? She didn't require him to be a part of the baby's life. And he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Him dropping out of school and stuff was his own choice. It's not like he dropped out of school to raise his daughter.
Right.
He dropped out of school because he chose to. So it's like, don't blame. It's like you're stretching to find it to be Lorelai's fault somehow. But I like the comparisons that she drew. I agree.
Okay, this email is from... I don't know the name because I believe it's in Hebrew because the writer lives in Israel. But the Gmail, what's it called? Translation says Tomer, maybe? I think. So I'm going to go with that, but I apologize because it sent it to us and the email's in English, but the actual like name sender is in, I believe that's Hebrew. I could be wrong. I'm not great with languages.
I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine.
That's what I'm going to go with though. Hi, girls. Just wanted to say hello and to tell you how much I absolutely love your podcast. I listen all the time, trying to catch up, so I hope I will soon. I'm close. I'm so close. You probably are caught up.
At this point, you've probably heard of all twice.
I'm 14 and live in Israel. By the way, sorry for any English mistakes. You guys are so smart. I'm afraid. Don't be sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Your English is
she
perfect.
She thinks we're smart.
I know.
Okay, you can be our new friend.
Yeah. And I love listening to you guys. Listen, I don't even know if this was Hebrew or not, so you're way
we
smarter
We don't even know
us.
What language this is, so trust me, you're smarter than we are. If you can write in English, you're already way better than I am, so.
I feel like you're my soul sisters. I love English, although it's not my native language, and food. I love Harry Potter, and most importantly, I am completely obsessed with Nugs. She's the best. We agree.
Okay, she can be my friend. I like her.
While I'm messaging you, I recall wanting to share an oven story, so I'll make it quick. My mom hates having too much stuff displayed in our kitchen, so she always puts the toaster in the oven with the oven trays. So about a year ago, we had my aunts and cousins coming over, and my mom always gets nervous about not making enough food, which I remember Morgan saying she does too.
Mm-hmm.
My mom told me to preheat the oven. I don't remember exactly what for, so I did, without checking if there was something inside. After about 5 minutes, my family members arrived, and we forgot about the oven, and a few minutes later, there was a burning smell all over the house. So obviously my mom checked the oven and the toaster wires had melted and gotten sticky and it smelled so gross.
Ugh.
We got a new toaster now and my mom still blames the both of us and says, you shouldn't put the toaster in the oven, but you also shouldn't turn on an oven without checking if there's a toaster inside.
Oh my gosh.
Gosh, I feel like I'm writing way too much, but I just wanted to mention that I live in a small town and I've always loved that my town's name is, I'm going to probably butcher this, I apologize, Kohavier?
Oh, let me see. Ooh.
I think that's
what it is. Yeah, that looks like it.
Which in English means a star will shine,
ah!
Which is so beautiful. And I always felt like this name was similar to Stars Hollow's name. Sorry if this was too long. It wasn't. And love you guys so much. See you back in Stars Hollow.
Okay, number one, your English was perfect.
Perfect.
So,
literally perfect.
Wow. Okay. That's
beautiful.
I
like,
think that's
what
so
a beautiful translation.
Awesome. Yeah. Why don't we have cool things like that here?
Another one from Lena?
I think Lena.
Lena. Yeah. I'm going to go with it. Hi, M&R. I'm Lena. I'm from Germany. And don't worry, I'm not a Nazi.
Oh, gosh.
I love your podcast.
Good sense of humor.
Yes. I love your podcast, and I hope your life is going to be a little less stressful so you can record monthly or weekly or whatever it's called. I just listened to our last episode, and you said no normal person in the world has a pizza cutter. But... But in Germany, almost everybody has a pizza cutter because when you order a pizza, it's often not cut. The other thing I wanted to tell you is also about your last episode. You said that you two have a 4-year age difference, and because of that, you didn't really bond when you were younger. But me and my brother have a 21-year age difference.
Whoa.
And with my other brother, it's 7 years. So we never were really close because he always was kind of like a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I didn't annoy you and say hello to Nugget for me. You did not annoy us, Lena. That was a wonderful email. I had no idea that everyone in Germany had pizza cutters.
But I'm conflicted by this pizza cutter thing and the fact that they don't cut the pizzas in Germany. Because, like, what if you're, like, a lot of times you get pizza when you're out and about with your friends.
Right.
Like, delivered to you at a park or whatever. Like, if it's not, what are you supposed to, like, carry the pizza cutter around in your purse? I'm so confused. Like, oh, our pizza came. Let me whip out my handy-dandy pizza cutter that I carry around in my purse. Like,
maybe the pizza delivery person has a pizza cutter with them in case of emergency.
Okay.
Like, emergency in their tool belt, they, like, whip out their pizza cutter. Did you like my sound effect? They couldn't see it, so I had to make the sound effect of whipping out the pizza cutter.
Well, that was really bad.
We got an email from Dina, who said, hi, ladies. I know I'm a bit behind on the podcast, but slowly catching up. In the middle of season 2, episode 2, pod, I had to respond to your comments about how Rory should have asked Dean for help with planning her extracurriculars rather than shoving him away. I think that scene says more than we think it does about Rory and their relationship. I think it indicates that Rory sees school and academia as completely separate from Stars Hollow and her life and people there. Mm. I think at this point, Rory knows Dean enough to say, I'm stressed, I need help, but she wants to keep those worlds separated. However, just because she knows he would help, I think Rory does not see Dean as smart enough or interested enough to help in the capacity she wants. While we know Dean can play sports and is outdoorsy, she still doesn't consider him. Rory doesn't even have these skills, which she mentions here, but would still rather not include Dean. Because we learned so much about Dean at the dinner with her grandparents, I believe this scene and his grades in tandem show us how little Rory values him in the areas she seeks valuable: school. Keep podcasting. Thanks, Dina.
Wow. That was some, like, that super was deep. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Actually, I completely agree.
Yeah.
And you know what? She has a good point, because when she's doing that project with Paris, Mal and Louise, she, like, purposely says, like, when Paris is trying to book, like, the ballet studio or trying to do it at her house, she's like, she says at some point, I like to keep that, like, part of my life separate. Like,
yeah.
I like to have Stars Hollow be Stars Hollow separate. And I do think that, like, I mean, to say it in a kind of dumbed down version, I agree. Like, it's almost like she views Dean as, like, a little stupid.
Not even,
but you know what I mean.
Right.
Like, that he wouldn't understand, and there's no, like, or that she can't value his thought in it because he doesn't value it, or she doesn't think that he would. I don't know. I think that's really good insight.
Also really, like, ironic to me, because when she starts at Chilton, she feels kind of stupid, I think. Like, I think she goes in thinking, like, I'm a really smart person, and then she gets to Chilton and she's like, I am so far behind all these people.
Yeah.
So then the fact, like, I don't know, maybe that plays into why she treats
mechanism.
Yeah. And maybe that's why she treats him that way.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I remember how dumb I felt, and Dean's dumber than me.
That's a common, like, insecurity thing that people will do. Like, if they feel like they are one way, like, if they think that they look ugly in something, they're gonna go around talking about how someone else looks ugly. Or, like, they're gonna go, you know, and not that it's the right thing to do, but it's like a very common deflection thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you feel stupid in a circumstance, like, they go and tear somebody else down in a different circumstance. And it's a common thing I feel like kids do too.
It's like bullies. A lot of times bullies are bullied.
Yeah, exactly. That's very deep. Really, really good insight.
That was really good, Dina. Thank you for sending that.
You should be doing this podcast.
Yeah, can you, while we are on our MIA hiatuses.
You can take over.
Dina is now the host of this podcast.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, let's get into, first of all, let's recap what happened last episode, if Morgan remembers. Season 2, episode 14. Do you remember what happened?
Oh, man. It's been a long time,
I don't even have my notes,
folks.
So I can't
Hang
even remember,
on, I can
honestly.
Find out. Give me one second. Netflix is very handy, y'all. Here we go. Oh, okay, yeah. So the last... Wow, we literally just talked about it in an
email. It's all right.
The last episode was when Christopher brings Sherry and they go to Rory's debate.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the whole conversation happens with Lorelai at the end going, oh, I finally can be over you now that I see you with someone else.
Yes.
And he's like, why would you put that on me?
Yeah.
And we had a really good conversation about that.
We did,
last time.
Yeah. And Emily is mad because
she's mad.
He has a girlfriend.
Is, not trying to get back with him.
So this episode, Lost and Found. Okay, so one of the first things I noticed in this episode is that when they go into Luke's diner, there's a different Caesar. It's not the same Caesar.
Yeah, Caesar
they
changes.
Didn't even try to get the same guy. Like,
no,
even,
they don't
like,
even
make
look
them look
alike.
Anything alike, which I think is hilarious. We start the episode. Lorelai needs the rain gutters clean. She has a cut hand. She thinks she's going to get some sort of superpower. Which is actually really funny. I just watched Spider-Man. I, like, never seen any of the new Spider-Mans, and then I watched the one with all three of them.
Okay. So, totally super random. Funny. That's, okay.
I saw it on the plane on the way back from Charleston.
Really? Okay, so brief offshoot. Yeah, so I've only seen the Spider-Mans with Tobey Maguire because he was, like, the original Spider-Man when I was a kid, you know, right?
I don't even think I saw the third one with him. I only saw, like, the first two.
The third one's the one where he does the weird awkward dancing.
I don't
think
I watched
Spider-Man.
The whole thing.
I thought we saw it together.
Maybe I only saw parts of it. I can't remember.
Anyway, the awkward dancing.
Oh, I do remember the awkward dancing.
Yes.
I couldn't remember if I actually saw it
or if I just saw
so many memes of it.
Of it,
you know what I mean? We need to
or
post
like,
it.
Or, like, there's, like, a video of, like, a little kid doing it on a dance floor, and I thought it was funny. Anyways, I wanted to see the new one because I knew that Tobey Maguire was going to be in it. And I also have a huge, huge crush on Andrew Garfield.
Oh, Andrew Garfield.
He is my number one celebrity
crush. I have a huge crush on
Tom
Holland.
Yeah, you got Tom Holland. Leave Andrew Garfield to me.
But anyway, Lorelai thinks she's going to get this whole conversation stemmed from. Lorelai thinks she's going to get superpowers from this cut or whatever. And she's got to find somebody to clean her rain gutters, which ends up coming back in this episode. So we get to Luke's diner after, I think, we get to Luke's diner and... Different Caesar. Okay, and Luke is upstairs, and Lorelai wants him to make the special pancakes. She doesn't like the pancakes Caesar makes.
Yeah.
So, of course, Lorelai always gets her way, And
she just like charges up,
literally goes up
behind the counter to his house, essentially his apartment, whatever you want to call it.
And she is like, Luke, what the heck is going on up here? Okay, the one thing I was curious about, does Luke Steiner have bathrooms? I've never seen bathrooms.
It must. It must be like around the other corner. Okay. Right?
I don't know. But that's a really good point.
I don't know. I need to pay more attention about it.
I was like, do they have bathrooms?
That's almost like in books when you like never read that characters go to the bathroom.
I know. It's so bizarre.
I read something that was like, in all of Harry Potter, Harry took one bath. I thought that was hilarious.
That explains so much. So Lorelai goes up there and the place is just a wreck. And Jess is like that terrible roommate you had after college that made you feel so uncomfortable in your own home that you like didn't want to be home. Do you know what I'm talking about?
So that's Jess, basically.
He's just exploded all over Luke's apartment. And Lorelai is like, what happened in here? Basically, like, are you a hoarder? What's going on? There's one bathroom.
Basically, all of Jess's stuff has now finally been delivered by his mom from New York.
Yes, Liz dropped it off and
he lives in a tiny place, and Jess apparently has a bunch of stuff. I don't understand how.
Like, I don't know how one kid has this.
Was he living in like a mansion? I'm so confused. I don't even have that much stuff.
So Lorelai is also saying, like, tells Luke basically, like, at some point it comes up that she needs her gutters cleaned.
Yeah.
And the one thing I thought was really interesting here is that Lorelai is super willing to ask Luke and use Luke for anything she needs. But the one time he asks her for a favor to let Jess clean her rain gutters, so that he can make some money, she has to, like, think about it. Which, okay, to be honest,
what is the worst that can happen? He's going to do a bad job cleaning your rain gutters? Like it's not like he's going to fall off the ladder and sue you.
Right.
So, come on.
Exactly. Like, and it's not like he's actually, like, coming into her house. It's, like, an outdoor thing. She doesn't have to be home while he does it. Like,
even if you don't like the kid, just leave the money under the mat.
Exactly.
Like, whatever. Yeah.
And the worst that's going to happen is he's going to take the money and not clean the rain gutters. And
I think she just,
you
like,
know where he lives.
Wants him to stay away from Rory.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, like, have him do it while she's gone.
Yeah,
she's got all these Chilton extracurriculars.
I think,
like,
it's hilarious that Luke's down in the diner watching baseball
on this
tiny TV.
You can't even watch baseball for real at a baseball stadium. But you can't watch it on a TV.
Where is this TV even from? Like, can you even buy those?
I think she said,
I like how the antenna too is coated in tinfoil. I'm trying to figure out why anyone would even make a TV that small.
I don't know. I think it was
like,
for like
so
those
it can
little
fit in like a little cupboard of
no,
your
no, like, you know those little booths, like those little, like, when you drive into a parking garage, like, they always have those little teeny tiny TVs and those, like, parking attendant booths. Like, maybe that's what it's for.
Oh, I can see that.
Maybe? I don't know. That's just my thought.
You did work as, like, a...
I did.
In college,
for a hot minute, I was campus security. Do you know what I did? The whole time.
Michelle was very intimidating, y'all.
Okay, I think the statute of limitations is up on this, so I can admit it, because I was in college so many years ago, and I don't think anybody from college is going to listen to this, but... I worked campus security and in LA, by the way. So, like, not really the safest place, but I worked in the front booth, and, like, to get into campus, you had to, like, scan your card or whatever. And so I would, like, be the one there if people forgot their card or whatever. And the whole time I was in the booth, I was either A, doing homework, or B, watching Game of Thrones. Anyways, so
moving on.
Lorelai agrees to have Jess do the gutters. And then, oh, and... she convinces Luke, like, you need a bigger place. Like, this place is not big enough for the two of you. You need to go looking for an apartment. Okay, here's what I think is weird. So, Luke is wants to rent an apartment. So, when they go looking for an apartment, he's living currently above the diner in his father's office. I'm assuming that since Luke grew up in Stars Hollow, he has a house somewhere in Stars Hollow that was his father's, that was given to him and or his sister.
I mean, although, you know, it could have been like one of those situations where when his father died, because his sister wasn't living in the area, maybe they sold it.
Maybe.
And split the money. Because, like, for instance, when our father's mom died, nobody wanted to live out where she lived.
Right, right, right.
And, like, all of her children lived separated far apart.
Right.
So it made more sense to sell the house and split the money made from it.
Right.
You know? So I could see that, because it wouldn't be like, you know, he also got his dad's business building.
So maybe it would have made
more sense to sell and give most of that money to his sister.
That's
because
true.
He got to keep the business. Or not the business necessarily, but at least the building that it
was
in.
Well, so then the other thing I'm thinking is Luke is looking for somewhere to rent. And I wonder, like... We know he has money to buy a place. We know he has plenty of money. Why doesn't he just... He's going to live in Stars Hollow for the rest of his life. Why don't you just buy a place?
I think... Okay, here's my theory. I think that Luke just hates change.
Yes.
And so he doesn't like the fact that his life is going to be uprooted from this comfort... Like, what he's used to.
His living in the office lifestyle.
above the... You know what I mean? Like... He just likes his life the way it is, and he doesn't want it to change. Right. I think that's what it is.
I think also,
but I agree with you. Come on, man. Like,
I think he also thinks, like, Jess isn't going to be here much longer. Eventually, he'll leave and go off to college and do whatever it is he does. And so I won't need all this space. But it's like, Luke... Well, and then part of me is like, Luke, we know you're pining for Lorelai. So we know you want to be with somebody, which means you're going to need a little bit more space than
but
this.
But I think maybe he's so narrow-minded that he likes Lorelai, but doesn't ever think that he'll get her.
Right.
So it's like, what's the, you know.
Or he's like, well, she has a house, so I guess
maybe
I don't need a house.
Maybe he has a hard time with
know.
The whole big picture thing. You know
I think
mean?
So. It's just really bizarre to me. I'm like, why are you going apartment hunting?
Yeah.
And like, worried about renting when you could just buy a place? Like, I don't know. You could like... Heck, you can even buy a place and have, like, Jess just live there while he's here. You can still live in the apartment
above.
I'll
be honest. I mean, would it be safe for Jess to live on his own
Probably
at this
not.
Point? Yeah.
But it's like, at least then you have the option of, like, I'm going to go stay in the apartment above because I got an early morning at the diner or whatever.
I mean, he has to sit down in his diner watching off his tiny little TV. At
right.
least
so
can,
why
like,
does it matter?
Know.
Anyway, so Lorelai tells Rory that she's going to have Jess clean the gutter. She's going to give him a chance because Lorelai is like, will you just give him a chance? Like, you know, he's my friend. Yep. Like, we're friendly or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is like...
But then it's funny because she's talking about Chicky's bachelor party and I just want to know who Chicky is. I love the names in this show.
I know.
And then Miss Patty comes by in her little golf cart telling people to march and march. And then she's like smoking her cigarette, right. you know? Anyway.
I don't remember. She says something about like suck it in or tummy's tight or something.
Yes.
I don't know.
Tummy's tight
and walk. Yes. So
think about that double chin. That's what she says.
So Luke finally comes up and he's like, I've had it. Like, there's too much stuff everywhere. We're going apartment hunting. So we're going to skip ahead and we're going to go to the book fair.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, Jess, long story short, Jess shows up to clean the gutters. Rory's like, at least make an effort with my mom.
Yeah, be nice.
Because and she's so, trying. She gave you this job. Like, the least you can... I'm vouching for you. The least you can do is, like, say more than, like, yes or no to her and, like, make an attempt.
She's my friend.
Yeah.
And so Lorelai comes out and offers some Chinese food. He says no. And then he's like, actually, you know what? That sounds great. So we go in and eat with her.
Right. And he, like, he's like, I'm not really good at the small talk thing. Like, I'm trying to make an effort, which is nice. Like, I appreciate that he does that. So, okay, I want to talk about the book fair, and I'm about to get on my Dean-sized horse right now, because this is one of the scenes that I have the most issue with people citing when they say that Dean is the worst boyfriend, and I'm going to tell you why.
Why would they think he's
the worst? So, they think he's the worst. They always cite that he's the worst because of the way that the scene starts, where he's sitting on the steps, and he's got this, like, look on
like,
his face.
Yeah, dying.
First of all, as a girl who loves books and has a boyfriend who is not as big of a book lover as I am, okay?
Yeah.
If I made my boyfriend go to a book fair or a bookstore or a book thing of any kind and sit there for 3 hours while I looked at every single book under the sun and couldn't decide which ones I was going to buy, I would expect my boyfriend to also be like, I really like you.
Yeah.
And I like that you read books, but like 3 hours is a long time.
And I think some people who maybe can't understand like that people don't have an interest. Think about going somewhere that you don't like... dragging your husband to go clothes shopping or something that you had absolutely... What if you're really not interested in sports and your husband drags you to go watch a basketball game for 3 hours and you have no interest in it? Like, it's like, I get it. Like, it should go both ways.
And people are going to be like, well, why did he agree to go? One, it probably wasn't...
He
likes being with Rory. Two, it shouldn't have probably been a 3-hour outing.
Yeah.
They had other plans to go do stuff afterwards.
Anybody can show some enthusiasm for a little while with something because they know somebody else likes it. But
3 hours,
you get exhausted.
Because she comes over and she's like, I know you're sick of this. And he's like, go check out that section. You missed that section. I will wait. And he makes a compromise.
Well, and he doesn't make her feel bad.
No.
Like, he might not be thrilled about being there, but he's not like sitting there going, I hate this. Can we leave?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he even makes a compromise and he's like, we can go see Lord of the Rings again. And she's like, again? He's like, I thought you liked Lord of the Rings. Like, you expressed to me that you enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
I thought we could go see it again.
We both like it.
Right. Yeah. And then he says, okay, let's compromise. You go check out that section. We'll go watch this other movie. So they don't even go see the movie he wants to see. And we will
even
make fun of people.
Even though she said that she liked it.
Yes. And we will make fun of people in the movie throughout the entire thing, which was one of her stipulations. So I'm like, he is a good boyfriend. Yeah, like,
he's compromising everything to be what she wants.
Yes, yeah. And to be with her. Like, he doesn't care what they do. He just wants to be around her. And, like, Rory is actually the one who's not compromising at all, really. Yeah. Like, she's like, I don't have to go look at that section. But then he compromises and does everything that she wants to do. So yeah. I'm like, people need to stop citing this scene as Dean being a terrible boyfriend, because I will write an entire thesis about why that is not
10
true.
10 pages worth.
Literally. So I'll send you my thesis if you want it.
Yes.
Anyways, that's my Dean-sized horse, a theme. I will get off my Dean-sized horse now. Oh, well, at the book fair, Rory realizes that her bracelet is missing. But mm-hmm. she lies to Dean
and
says...
Well, he says something. Yes. And he's like, oh, hey, where's your bracelet? Right. You're not wearing it. And she, like, makes up some story about a rash.
Right.
I remember that, yeah.
So then she runs back to the house and she's, like, frantic. And she's like, Mom, like, where is my bracelet? I can't find my bracelet. It's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, like, turn the whole house over, basically. Yeah. Like, Lorelai goes out to the car and checks. They're, like, looking all over the house.
Couch cushions.
They literally,
everything's
like,
in the couch
she's
cushions,
like, I've been
always.
Through, I've taken every route in Stars Hollow possible. I cannot find my bracelet. So they're looking everywhere. And, of course, Jess overhears this whole thing because he's on the roof, right?
And as we know, Jess has stolen the bracelet.
Yes.
Well, yes, it fell
it
off
and
her
did
wrist.
Not return. Yes.
So essentially stole it.
Yes. But. He picked it up and did not return it, which is not okay. Lorelai then goes to the inn and she's like looking everywhere. And Michelle's like, I already told you I looked. And she's like, I know, I'm just looking again. While she's looking, Luke calls, and he is, okay, I have never related to Luke more than in this scene. He is ranting about, like, all the ridiculous things that come with trying to find a place to live.
Yeah.
Like, this place is too this. This place wants a pet deposit. She's like, you don't even have a pet. And he's like,
it
doesn't matter.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, which I agree with. So he's, like, ranting and raving, and I'm like, when I was looking for a place to buy, I'm like, this is so accurate. Like, nothing has everything you want, and, like, there's always something ridiculous that you have to, like, forfeit when you're looking for a place to live.
Can I make a quick thing?
Yeah.
So pet deposits don't necessarily bug me that much.
No.
If it's a deposit that you're going to get back,
yes.
like a security deposit, pet rent bugs
yeah,
me.
Pet rent is
like
stupid.
Like when they add money to your rent every
yes.
month, it's like, okay, if you're worried about the pet destroying the place, the person's going to
deposit.
Let's say that,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, give them have a deposit
yeah.
so that, yeah, if the pet does do anything wrong,
right.
you keep that money to cover it. And or if not, give it back. Why do they need to pay a monthly amount?
No,
that makes no sense at all.
Lorelai comes and helps Luke look at one of these places. And she's like, Luke, this place is perfect. It only has like a year contract
lease
or 2 year lease or something
yeah.
like that. It's got great light. It's in a it's a beautiful location. Like, and also, like, don't you ever want to, like, have a partner or a family? Like, you live in a, you sleep in a twin size bed. Like, that is not
yeah.
inviting. That does not tell somebody that this is potential long-term partner material.
Yeah.
Which, like, I think Lorelai is 100% right here. And I like that she's trying to, like, help Luke out of his kind of, like, grumpy old man funk.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny to me that Luke is so resistant to it. When it's, like, literally the woman that you want to be with
is
standing in front
this.
Of you. Telling
yeah.
you, like, you cannot be in a relationship if a woman walks into your place and sees this.
To play the devil's advocate, I am, like, a big thing about, like, woman coming in fixing the guy.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
When he's not your guy,
yes.
especially.
Yeah.
But, like...
But they are friends. And
yes.
he did call her
you
and
know
ask
what,
for
you're
her
right.
advice.
That would be friendly advice. And you're right. This is the big difference. He asked for her advice
yes.
this time. And in the past, he hasn't. And she's given it anyways,
yes.
you know? And then we're like, okay, well, stop giving your unwanted
right.
advice, Lorelai.
And
you
sometimes,
know?
Like, you need to push your friends to a certain extent. Like, I do
yeah.
think it's healthy to, like, if somebody... Because here's my thing. I have a problem with people that complain about their life and do nothing to
yeah,
fix it.
Don't do anything about
don't
it.
Don't come
yeah.
to me. Like, sometimes you can
yeah.
come to me and be like, I just need to vent. I'm like, great,
yeah, that's
vent.
Fine.
That's fine.
But don't be complaining. Keep
but
complaining
it,
about
yes.
Jess or something like that and not doing
when
anything.
It's a very fixable, solvable problem
and
it's like, if you're
going
to continue complaining
yeah.
to me, at one point I need to be like, you can either complain and I can help you find a solution or... We're
you
done.
Need to stop because I
enough.
Can't hear about it
yeah.
for the 18th
and
time.
And with Luke,
yeah.
it's like he likes to complain. He's a grumpy person. He has that disposition. And it's like charming and cute and adorable to a certain extent.
Yeah,
and then
it's
like,
can be wearing, yeah.
Luke, you're a grown man.
Yeah,
you need
exactly.
to fix your problem. Like, yeah, and don't go to someone like Lorelai who you kind of know is actually solution oriented. Like,
yeah.
the one thing I will say about Lorelai,
she
is solution oriented.
She makes stuff happen. She makes it happen
she
immediately.
She does. So she gets back home and she catches Jess coming out of Lorelai's room. Out of Rory's room.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing in here? And he's like, oh, I just wanted to see if she had this one copy of this book or whatever.
Or I was going to let her borrow it.
Yes.
And he's like, she does. And Lorelai knows that
yeah,
he's
she
lying.
Knows.
Yeah. Oh, this is the
oh,
best.
This is great. So then Luke is at Dosey's Market and Taylor approaches him and mm-hmm. is like, I got your rental application. Because Lorelai encouraged him to submit an application. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, well, I bought the building that you're applying for a spot in. And, you know, and he's like, how many buildings do you own in Stars Hollow, Taylor? Like, are you basically just buying up the whole town? And Taylor's like, well, basically, like, someone's got to do it. Like, you know, this is... Somebody's got to make sure the lawns are all perfectly manicured and we take care of this city. Yeah, an inch
and
a half
in height, you know. Right.
And so Luke is like, I'm out. And he like throws the application in the garbage. Which, okay, you know what my thought was when he throws his application in the garbage? Was, that has all of your information on it. Somebody can steal your identity.
We're totally our moms. Our mom used to work in the fraud department of a bank. And so she's always like, I remember when I was applying for my first job. Very normally, your job asks for your social security number. My mom was like, you cannot put your social... She was
I still get paranoid.
It was a written one, but online ones, like, they won't let you move on. I'm like, Mom, I can't get the job without it. And she's like, well, they can once they give you it, then you can give it to them. I'm like, well, usually they need to check your social security number before they're allowed to offer you the... She, like, was, like, so adamantly
she
against
it. She has me so paranoid that now, I'm literally that person that, like, I tear up those things into tiny pieces and then I, like, light them on fire, put them in water, or, like, do something that nobody could ever, like, reassemble them. He's like, yeah, this isn't going
to
happen.
Can we skip ahead a little bit just to, like, tie the two... I know it goes back and forth in the show, but then... So basically, the flower shop is closing, and basically Luke finds out that Taylor is thinking about buying the
place
building
next door,
and like, buying the place next door where the flower shop is, and he was thinking about buying the whole building or something like that. And Luke is like, "Oh my god!" Thinking to himself, "I cannot have my business, the building my business is in, owned by Taylor." And then he's like, "Taylor's gonna own the whole town."
Yeah.
So then Luke decides, instead of buying a very reasonable like apartment or house, or even just renting an apartment or house, he buys the entire building,
and he tells
which
Lorelai
I actually think is the best flex that Luke has ever done.
It's also like, a really smart business investment.
It's super smart. You get to own the building that you're
in
not
the
paying
town you live in.
I mean, that means if he didn't own the building, if he didn't own the space before, that means he has to have been renting that space this whole time.
Right.
It's like, buy the building, save yourself the rental money,
rent it out from
Taylor. Yeah. How much better does it feel that he's going to be making money off of Taylor?
I love that he just calls her and is like, I just spent... What was it, like, $200,000 and it's your fault or whatever. I just love it so
And
funny.
Then he takes a jackhammer and just jackhammers the
yes,
wall. And
this
is like,
your room.
This is your room. Here, finish to Jess. And I love that. Anyways, best flex ever by
Luke. It is a great flex. So Rory gets home and Jess is leaving and she's like, I can't find my bracelet. And he's like, maybe it's in your room. Did you check?
He's like, did you check one
more
time?
Like, sometimes it's in the most obvious places, whatever. So she gets home, she checks her room one more time, Lorelai's there, and she finds the bracelet, and Lorelai is
like, it was under my bed.
So Lorelai goes outside and confronts Jess, as I think is reasonable. I think it's 100% reasonable that she confronts Jess, and she's like, I can't believe that you watched her fretting about it literally for the last, like, day or two, when you knew where it was all along, you took it from her. It's one of, like, she's, okay, so she says it's her most prized possession, and Jess says, and this, okay, I'm gonna fight on this too.
Yeah.
Jess says, if it's her most prized possession, why didn't she notice it was missing for like
a week
or two weeks? Okay, I don't know about you, but like sometimes when I have something on me for so long and I don't wear it, like I won't notice that I'm not, because it's almost like become a part of my body.
Yeah.
And I don't notice that I'm not wearing it until I'm like, I go to like take it off and I'm like, oh, I forgot I wasn't wearing
that.
There's
certain things like that. Like this necklace that you gave me, I have a necklace that has Amelia's initial on it that Rochelle gave me. I have it on literally all the time. If it like came off one day, I don't feel for it, so I wouldn't know. However, my wedding ring, the place we bought it at, you can like take it back and have it cleaned for free.
Right.
And then they'll have it done in like a day or something like that. And so I went and got it cleaned because the hand sanitizer I use at work all the time makes it all like gunky sometimes. So I went and had it cleaned. I was at work the next day and I never realized until that moment that whenever I take a pair of gloves off, I swipe my thumb over my ring finger to make sure the ring is still
there.
It's just something I unconsciously do to make sure I haven't pulled my ring off with my glove and throw it away, right? I did it at work the next day and had literally almost a heart attack.
Panic attack,
because I was like, oh my gosh, what happened to my ring? And then I remembered that I had it, was having it cleaned. You know what I mean? But I didn't, that was the end of the day.
Right.
Like, I didn't notice until almost the end of the day.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's my point, is that like to say like, oh, because she didn't notice, she doesn't care about him and the relationship is over.
Yeah.
It's like, dude.
I think that
happens all,
like when you take off your glasses and you still go to push them up and they're not there.
Yes,
like,
or you're like holding your phone to your ear and you're like, where is my phone? Like, It's not an indicator of relationship health at all. Especially if it's a bracelet you don't put on and off every day.
I get that they... The funny thing is I get that this episode, like, the writers obviously tried to make it like a mic drop sort of a situation. But it's like, not. If you think about it, there's a lot of things that sound powerful when you say them, but when you think about them in reality, like, there's certain arguments in shows that they do this a lot. Yes. They're like, this is such a powerful argument. And then you're thinking about it in reality, and you're like, well... In all these situations, that wouldn't matter. No. You know what I mean?
Because it's like, if she was putting the bracelet on every single morning and then taking it off every night, and then she magically didn't do that for a week and didn't notice, then I would be like,
But she keeps it on all the time. And she said herself, I never take it off.
Exactly. So like, why would you think to check?
If you don't ever take something off, you're not going to notice it. Yes. I completely agree.
Thank you. Okay, that's another thing people point to. And I'm just like, you're right. It's one of those arguments in TV or movies that you're like, That doesn't make sense.
It sounds like one of those, like, ooh, whoa.
So yeah.
And you think about it, you're like, that's not good.
So, yeah. So, we already mentioned the end of the episode. Luke buys the building. He jokingly blames Lorelai. And then he comes home, smashes a hole in the wall. Yep. He's like, that's your room. You can finish that part, which I think is hilarious.
Also, okay, he could have hit, like, a water line.
I know.
Or a pipe. Like, okay, I know that Luke probably is smart enough to know where they are.
But
why would you
wall?
Give a hammer to... to Jess, I wouldn't trust that. He'd probably like flood the whole building or something, you know?
Yeah, that's
our father speaking. Like, you never hammer into a wall unknown. You could also take out a support wall.
Yes, a supporting beam or something. Yeah, very, very important. All right, are you ready for advice?
Yes! I almost forgot that this
is it your turn or my
turn? I actually think it is my turn.
Go for it.
Oh no, I should have said it was your turn. I would give a lot of advice, sort of. But I'm going to piggyback off of what you said.
Okay.
And say that my advice is don't complain 18 times about the same thing.
Yes.
If it is a easily fixable issue.
Yes.
Like, there's obviously situations, like, you're a broke kid in college.
Right.
And all you can afford is ramen every single day.
Right.
Like, yeah, like, go ahead and vent about that. Yeah. Like, that's not an easily fixable problem. We understand your friend should be there for you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But, oh, holy Lord, I know some people who like to complain for the sake of complaining, and they re-complain about the same things, and they're easily fixable problems.
Right,
Like, you don't like the fact that your toenail has a fungus on it? Like,
go to the doctor.
Well, you have the medication.
Right. Put it on.
Maybe I am talking about someone I know, but it's like, put it on. Like, you're not, like, you have this medication already.
Use it.
Put it on your toe every night like you're supposed to. You use it once, and then you go 3 months without it. I'm like, no wonder it's not gone.
Right.
Like, I hate hearing you complain about it.
I'm going to piggyback on that and also say, like, yes, do not complain when it's a fixable solution, and like complain once and then do something to fix it.
Yes.
Other thing is
it's okay to vent.
But here's the other thing. If it's not an easily fixable solution or problem, at some point you have to decide to stop complaining and to look at the bright side
of things.
Because if you live in a state of woe is me all the time, it's not going to make you ever feel any better.
Exactly.
So, like, at some point be like, this is not easily fixable and this situation sucks, but I have something else I can pivot to and think about.
I the only thing I would disagree in that with is, I don't know if I would phrase it as finding the bright side.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's easy for somebody to say who's in a comfortable situation.
Right.
There are some things where it's
there is no bright side.
It's not easy to say, oh, find the bright side.
Right.
However, I will say, in a lot of situations, in situations that are not like life and death and dire, things that you are not easily fixable, you can still make the decision of, like, am I going to let this consume my life?
Exactly.
Like, will this
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
by that.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree. It's like, will this become something that defines me as a person? Like, am I going to let this change me in a way that makes me an uglier or worse person? Like,
well,
I think
all it's going to do is increase your bitterness and make you a bitter person, and then nobody's going to want to be around you.
Yeah.
And one of the things that people need when they're in circumstances like that is community. They need people to be there. And it's like, nobody's like, at a certain point, we all are just like, listen, like, I cannot help you. There is nothing I can do for you.
And that
here
doesn't mean that you might not need to, like, go and see a therapist.
Yeah.
Or go, you know, some things that aren't easily fixable are not easily fixable.
Of course.
Like, we're saying that for a reason. Like, and we're not saying that it's like, oh, you just decide one day to get over it and you get over it.
That,
like,
doesn't
that's
happen.
Not how it
no.
works. But, like, I agree. It's like, if something is really, like, rocking you to your core that you're complaining about every day and you can fix it, like, or even if, like, it's something you might not be able to fix, like, what are you going to do about it? Like, don't
let
it just...
What can you fix
help? This is almost advice, like, not just so you don't annoy other people, but also for yourself. Like, don't let your... don't allow yourself to be so unhappy for so long because you deserved to not be that right. unhappy. You know what I mean? Like, nobody deserves to be unhappy.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Forever and stuff. And so it's kind of just making your circumstance, you know,
yeah.
making what you can of your circumstances with what you have, obviously. Right. And like, you know, hopefully you have some friends or any sort of support system, you know, but yeah, I agree. I think that like on a lighter level, like, just stop complaining about stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
You know that there's like, you know, and if you have a friend like that, I don't know. I'll be praying for you. You know, like,
well, cause complaining doesn't actually fix anything.
Exactly. Yeah. And we all need a vent sometimes.
Yes, of course.
Let your friends vent. This is also advice. Yes. Let your friends vent. And sometimes
they don't need a solution.
Maybe just listen.
Yeah.
Don't maybe. And you know, there's some people who respond to, maybe even respond with a like, and you can do this with your partner or your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever, you know, do you want me to give you advice or do you just want me to listen?
Because
sometimes you just need someone to listen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want to be fixed. And you sometimes also when you need a vent, you know that what you're saying isn't necessarily justified.
Right.
Like, you know that you're being a jerk. Or
you
or
already
a brat.
Know the solution.
Yeah, you know the solution.
Yes.
You just need to like get it all out.
Right.
You know, and that's also a part of what friends are for. So also part of my advice is like be a good friend and let people complain / vent to you every once in a while. You know what I mean? Don't like and don't one up other people's complaining.
Gosh, no.
That is the worst. Like, if your friend comes to you and is like, I'm really struggling with this, or like, I really can't stand this, like, I need to vent about it, or I'm really upset, or this happened, like, don't be like, well, this happened to me. Like, and try
was, yeah,
and it was worse, or something like that.
Or at
like,
least you're not dealing with this.
Yes.
And it's like,
don't one up your friend's complaints, like, you're, because then you're going to wonder why they stop talking to you, or you're going to wonder why they stop confiding in you. Like, let people be upset. Like, I'm not saying that you can't also vent back. And there's also sometimes in certain circumstances where it's good to be able to relate.
Yes.
So if somebody vents to you or complains about something, be like, you know what? I've been through something very similar.
I get it.
This happens. I understand. This is what helped for me. If they want advice, this is what helped for me. Or I am here for you.
Right.
Like, and I get that. Because sometimes when I've vented to other people or vice versa, I find that it helps to be able to find a common ground.
You bond
so
over
that
it.
You
yeah.
know that there's somebody there that understands.
Yes.
At least on some level.
Yes.
So, but don't try and one-up people.
No.
And I feel like sometimes people don't always notice that they're doing it, too. Like, they don't notice that they're trying to one-up, you know?
Right.
So, you know, just, you know, complain appropriately.
Yeah.
You know?
And if
and
you're
respond
and the other thing is set boundaries for yourself.
Yes.
Like, if you have that friend who just constantly complains and you've given advice in a kind way when they asked for it or whatever and they refuse to accept it, it is well within your right to say, I'm sorry, but I cannot handle this anymore.
Yeah.
You refuse to make this change, so please stop complaining to me about it.
Yeah.
I would still like to be friends with you, but if you're not going to accept the very reasonable, actionable advice that I've given you, it's not your place to fix anybody.
Yeah.
And it's also well within your right to say, I cannot do this anymore.
You're taxed.
That's
and,
okay.
And that's true because I had a friend who was like that. Like, everything was complaints all of the time. And I never did. I never said, like, okay, that's enough. I really can't.
Yeah.
But I found that it would be taxing to be around her. Like, it was like, it would eat away your soul. I would get anxiety.
It's an energy
vampire.
Like,
all day, it was like, this is a problem. And this, and like, she gets so upset and so anxious about it. And it's like, people have problems with anxiety, and I super get that. But it's like, when you're causing pain to other people around you,
yes.
And it was like so, and I should have at some point been like, okay, hey, I understand you're struggling with this, and I'm really sorry, but like, I feel like it's constantly like this when we're around each other and you're always, and it's causing me anxiety.
Yes.
Like, and I want to be able to help you. Like, and I want to be able to give advice, but then, you know, either ask for my advice and take it and move on or, you know,
or go to somebody who's paid to do
this.
Like,
go get
you
some
know what
help
I mean?
For
yes.
it. Like, make changes.
Who's a professional. I shouldn't say paid to do this.
Because
who's a professional.
I mean, and like, and it was all the time. I mean, literally 24/7.
Yeah.
I would get home and I'd be sick to my stomach with anxiety. And
yeah.
it was just like, I can't, you just can't. So yeah, like, don't be like me. Be like Rochelle. Set boundaries because it eats away your soul too.
Yeah,
and
does.
That's the thing. Like, don't let, you know, that's like what Rochelle said earlier. Sometimes you just have to accept, like, what are you going to do about the situation to make it, if you're upset about something, because you don't want to tear other people down around you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
Yeah.
So
good advice.
Thank you.
All right. Pop culture corner.
Pop culture corner.
All right. Pop culture corner is brought to you by Google and Wikipedia and Rochelle. All right. Ida Morgenstern is mentioned. Ida Morgenstern was a fictional character on the 70s sitcom The Mary Tyler Moore Show and its subsequent spinoff show, Rhoda. In both, she was played by veteran actress Nancy Walker. And this is in reference to Lorelai saying that she has this disease on her hand. Maybe she's Like, she doesn't want to go to the hospital because she's scared of hospitals kind of thing. Rockefeller is mentioned. It's like a wealth joke because John Davison Rockefeller Sr. was an American business magnate and philanthropist. Is it magnate or magnet? I actually don't know. Magnate?
Business.
I feel like I've heard it both ways.
I've only heard it pronounced magnet, okay. I think. But I'm going to go with that. I don't know.
There's an E at the end, so it's throwing me off.
Yeah, it is weird.
I'm an English major, you guys, and I still can't speak English, so it's okay. All your emails are wonderful. He is widely considered the wealthiest American of all time and the richest person in modern history. Vanity Fair is mentioned. Vanity Fair is a monthly magazine, pop culture magazine, fashion, current affairs, published by Condé Nast in the United States. The first version of Vanity Fair was published from 1913 to 1936, and the imprint was revived in 1983 and currently includes 5 international editions of the magazine.
I wonder if anyone called Condé Nast Nasty Nast. You know, like, I could just see like that as like a sly nickname, like a Slim Shady sort of thing.
To disparage Condé Nast, I know nothing about
them. I don't know
anything
about Condé Nast.
You know, I could see that being a mean nickname.
Like, you get mad about your boss or like you're at work and you can't stand it. You're like, Nasty Nast, or I don't know, you know?
Please don't sue us. We make no money off this podcast.
Exactly.
Spider-Man, again, Lorelai mentions that because she's like, oh, maybe I'll, you know, get superpowers like Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned the movie, is a Marvel comic book superhero. Peter Parker was bitten by a radioactive spider. Then became Spider-Man.
There's 2 different Spider-Man things, though, which I always thought that was what I got most mad about when after, like, the Tobey Maguire series ended. I was like, how are you Spider-Man if you can't shoot webs?
Yeah, it is
like,
really weird
that,
to
like,
me that they make
their
own webs.
Part of
their
identity?
Yeah.
Like what super... Like,
they actually, I liked that they made that joke in the movie.
I asked Rudy, I was like, so what superpower do they have then? And he's like, well, they have, like, Spidey sense. And I was like...
That's lame.
Still, that's really lame.
I think that's also the reason
Peter Parker went from this cool, like superhuman, like shooting webs, like to like, and apparently there's like 2 different comic series in one of them,
which
they
is weird because weren't they both written by Stan
one's
Lee?
One's Spider-Man, one's the Amazing Spider. Well, Stan Lee, I don't know, he didn't necessarily write them.
I thought
all,
he wrote them.
He was
all.
Like the, I don't know. I could be totally talking.
I thought it was
out
like his characters that
like,
he made up.
It could be.
We
know
nothing
know.
About Marvel.
I'm not a very big on comics.
You know,
I just
who we
know
could
that
ask. We could just ask our brother who knows everything.
I know there's
about.
2 different storylines, like.
That's
2
weird.
Different Spider-Mans. But you know what? When you think about the movies, they have like the multiverse, like different universes.
That's true.
So it could be like that. There's one
but
Spider-Man and one universe.
But it is weird to me that Spider-Man would get spider powers and not be able to squirt webs out of his arms.
I don't understand.
It is like, actually, that was like a really funny joke in that movie.
Yes,
like how they're like, so
because I never saw them, but it always bugged me.
Yeah,
because
it is
I remember
weird.
I'm like, oh, so what about, and somebody told me years ago, like, oh, they can't actually make
that's
webs.
Weird.
And I was like, I don't understand.
Yeah, that's
like, why
dumb.
Are they, I don't understand.
I'm just going to come out on the record and say,
just call it like, Super Sense Man. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, if you can't, I don't get it, you know?
Oh, Spider Adjacent Man.
Yes! Anyway.
Hearst Castle is mentioned. Hearst Castle, known formerly as La Cuesta Encantada, is a historic estate in San Simeon located on the central coast of California. Mom and Dad love that place. I've never been, but I've heard it's beautiful.
I've always wanted to go.
It was conceived by William Randolph Hearst, the publishing tycoon, and his architect, Julia Morgan, and the castle was built between 1919 and 1947. So that was a long construction period. Lorelai says she's finally ready to get a tattoo, and she's thinking she'll get a tattoo of Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks is an American actor, comedian, and filmmaker with a career spanning over 7 decades. He is known as a creator of broad farces and parodies, widely considered to be among the best film comedies ever made. So that's very on brand with Lorelai, I think. There's a mention of Calgon Take Me Away. This 1970s slogan of Calgon is an American brand of bath and beauty products owned by PDC Brands. Webster's Dictionary is mentioned. It's an English language dictionary edited in the early 19th century by American lexicographer Noah Webster. Someone says it's like the Huns are attacking. The Huns were a nomadic people. Oh, that's what Luke says when he comes in and... Jess is listening to a super loud... He's asleep to a super loud music.
But he should have come in to defeat the Huns.
The Huns were a nomad... You know that Justin had never seen that movie?
What is wrong
and
with
I
him?
Made him watch it for the first time ever. Okay, sorry.
We're talking about Mulan.
Yes.
The Disney movie.
If you haven't seen it, stop listening to this
excellent
and go watch
soundtrack.
It right now.
Yeah, what are you doing?
One of the top 5 Disney
to
movies.
Us,
I know.
You know?
The Huns were a nomadic people who lived in Central Asia. The Caucasus... and Eastern Europe between the 4th and 6th century CE. The Shags were an all-American, were an American all-female rock and outsider music band formed in Fremont, New Hampshire in 1968. The band was composed of sisters Dorothy Dot Wiggin, Betty Wiggin, Helen Wiggin, and later Rachel Wiggin.
The good old Wiggins.
Yeah.
Sisters.
They were occasionally joined on vocals by their brother Austin Jr. and nephew Robert. Patience Grasshopper. This is a quote from the 1980s film The Karate Kid. Maybelline Mascara is mentioned. Maybelline, or Maybelline New York, is an American multinational cosmetics, skincare, fragrance, and personal care company based in New York City. It was founded in Chicago in 1914 and has been a subsidiary of French cosmetics company L'Oreal since 1996. Lorelai asks Jess if he wants a Coke, and she says she has Coke with lemon, which was introduced in 2001.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize it was in 2001, which I thought was fun.
Do they have Coke with lemon? I thought they only had Diet Coke with lemon.
I know they have Coke with lemon.
I've never seen a Coke with
really?
Lemon.
Really? I've had it. It was actually
really?
Okay.
I've only seen Diet Coke with lemon.
I don't like soda, but I was
yeah,
like, oh, this
I
is kind of fine.
Just like plain old Coke. You still originally had cocaine in it.
So,
I mean, okay.
Really?
To
who
be honest,
is
though,
the bad guy
that
here?
Is a story I've heard passed down like to me.
Yeah, I don't
so
know if it's actually
true. So part of me is
true.
Like, is that actually, that's like one of those things that you hear growing up and yeah. not sure it's actually true. I'm going to look that up while you this finish. Yeah, keep going because I'm going to look it up.
Just Walk Against the Wind. So I could not find this reference except for on Gilmore Girls References blog, which has saved me many a time, so I want to thank Gilmore Girls References blog. Apparently it's a popular mime, which I watched on YouTube and learned how to do. The Walk
what?
Against the Wind. I'm going to show you.
Oh, no, Lord, to hold on.
But you're being... Please film this. Okay.
Okay, so wait, hang on. Do I need to see your feet?
Not really. I mean, kind of. Yeah,
okay,
let me
okay here.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So this is the Walk Against
ignore
the
Wind. Ignore the nail polish on the floor.
This is how tall I am. Okay. Walk Against the Wind. So it's like you're basically like, you're like walking against the wind and it's really blowing. And you're walking against the wind. I can't do it. Anyways,
okay.
It's just as you would imagine, trying to walk against the wind.
Okay,
so.
You're going
to
see a great video.
Oh my gosh.
In fact, I'm going to post the video before the podcast
oh,
even comes out. People, people are going to be like, what the heck is this video? But then they'll get it when they hear
the
podcast.
No, I think the deep cut Gilmore Girls fans will know
understand.
That reference. Okay. Then there's Inherit the Wind, which is mentioned. Inherit the Wind is an American play by Jerome Lawrence and Robert E. Lee. I don't think it was the
not
general,
that Robert E.
Yeah,
Lee.
Which debuted in 1955, so definitely couldn't have been him. The story fictionalizes the 1925 Scopes Monkey Trial as a means to discuss the then-contemporary McCarthy trials. Letters to a Young Poet is mentioned. It's a collection of 10 letters written by Bohemian Austrian poet Rainier Maria Rilke, to Franz Xaver Kappes. A 19-year-old, yes,
Coppice.
A 19-year-old officer cadet at the Theresian Military Academy in Wiener-Neustadt. My German is not great, so Lena will have to correct me on that. The Lord of the Rings is mentioned. It's a trilogy of books written by J.R.R. Tolkien, which were then adapted into movies by Peter Jackson. Autumn in New York is mentioned. It's a movie that follows the sexual exploits of Will Keen, Richard Gere, a New York restaurateur, infamous verging on 50 playboy, master of the no commitment seduction, until he runs into an unexpected dead end when he meets Charlotte Fielding, played by Winona Ryder.
Wow.
And they have a love affair. I Like Ike bumper sticker is something that Jess finds in the gutters. It's the 1952 slogan for Dwight D. Eisenhower's presidential campaign. Yule Gibbons is mentioned. Yule Theophilus Gibbons was an outdoorsman and early health food advocate promoting eating wild foods during the 1960s. Lorelai says, nice save, Gretzky. This is a reference to Wayne Gretzky, a Canadian former professional ice hockey player and former head coach. He played 20 seasons in the National Hockey League for four teams from 1979 to 1999. Michelle says he's wearing a Donna Caron suit. Donna Caron is an American fashion designer and the creator of the Donna Caron New York and DKNY clothing labels. He also says he'll be listening to Miami
it's
Sound
not
Machine.
Donna Caron.
It's
Donna
probably
Caron.
I don't know. I'm probably saying it wrong. Donna Caron suit. Donna Caron. I don't know. It sounded fancier. Miami Sound Machine was an American band of Latin-influenced music that had featured the vocals of Cuban-born recording artist Gloria Estefan. Established in 1975 by Emilio Estefan Jr., the band was originally known as the Miami Latin Boys before becoming the Miami Sound Machine in 1977. Yankees and Mets are mentioned. They're New York baseball teams. We've talked about them a few times. Attica is mentioned. So this is a maximum security prison in Attica, New York. It was the site of the famous prison riot of 1971. Initiated by prisoners demanding better living conditions. Timberland is mentioned. Timberland is an American manufacturer and retailer of outdoors wear with a focus on footwear. Lorelai tells Luke that if he wants to live any semblance of a non-Unabomber existence, he should consider moving. Theodore John Kaczynski, I believe we covered him, also known as the Unabomber, is an American domestic terrorist and former mathematics professor. Franny and Zoe, that's the book that Jess was talking about, is a book by American author J.D. Salinger, which comprises his short story Franny and novella Zoe. The two works were published together as a book in 1961, having originally appeared in The New Yorker in 1955 and 1957, respectively.
Okay, quick interlude.
Yes.
About Coca-Cola. So, according to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, Coca-Cola did originally, in fact, contain cocaine.
Okay.
But then, when it came out in, like, 1986 or something like that, but then shortly around the turn of the century, they removed it from the drink after it was discovered.
That's so crazy.
Well, because cocaine was actually commonly used in a lot of medicines.
Yes, I remember
that.
And
in fact, cocaine is still used sometimes in surgery or in medications. Yeah, it's a little bit old-fashioned, but some surgeons like to use actual cocaine to stop, because it causes vasoconstriction.
Yes, I remember
that.
So
your nose stops running, essentially. Right. There's different medications that are used now, like phenylephrine and ephedrine.
Like a joke or something about it also helping with like nosebleeds or something like that?
Well, it technically does.
Yeah, it's a coagulant or something like that?
It stops like bleeding and running from the nose.
Right.
It's like kind of like how if you use like Afrin spray on your nose. So like ephedrine phenylephrine is the same. Like a lot of ENT surgeons will use that in the nose when they're doing nasal surgery and stuff like that. And some surgeons still use medicinal cocaine in the nose. So fun fact, but it wasn't a lot of medications at one point. Yeah. I mean, pretty much any medication is dangerous if used improperly.
Of course.
You know, but everything, you know, not
everything.
Wasn't
that the whole joke?
I was going to say everything has its place, but not everything has its place.
Well,
let's be honest.
Wasn't that like the whole joke of like Breaking Bad is they're buying like normal over the counter stuff to make methamphetamine?
Yeah, funny thing is ephedrine is actually used in the making of crystal meth.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
You know,
which I found out when somebody made a joke about it at work because I couldn't figure out why it always was locked up.
Oh, I found it out from watching Breaking Bad. That's how I learned it.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Elvis, the Beatles, and Mary Poppins are all mentioned because Taylor is talking about opening that dish, like, plate store, and they will have, like, collectible plates with, like, Elvis and the Beatles and Mary Poppins on them. Elvis Presley was an American singer and actor dubbed the King of Rock and Roll. He's regarded as one of the most significant cultural icons of the 20th century. The Beatles were an English rock band formed in Liverpool in 1960 that comprised John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. And then Mary Poppins is a character from the 1964 Disney film starring Julie Andrews as the magical nanny. So there's a mention, Jess mentions Bye Bye Birdie, like I've been pinned. Mm-hmm. So Bye Bye Birdie is a stage musical with music by Charles Strauss and lyrics by Lee Adams based upon a book by Michael Stewart. It was originally titled Let's Go Steady, and it's set in 1958.
Let's Go Steady, Eddie.
And being pinned was like, we're going steady kind of thing. Mission Impossible is mentioned. It's a series of American action spy films based on and a follow-up on from the television series of the same name created by Bruce Geller. The series is mainly produced by and stars Tom Cruise, whose character is Ethan Hunt, an agent of the Impossible Missions Force. I feel like they're never going to stop making those movies.
Yeah,
like,
there's also another one coming out. He has a tooth in the middle of his like mouth.
He does.
Yeah, interesting. So.
Santa Claus.
Fun fact. I give the fun facts, all
the
right?
Fun facts. Santa Claus is mentioned. We all know, I think, who Santa Claus is. The large man with a white beard and a red suit who lives at the North Pole with his elves and reindeers and flies around the world on a magic sleigh and shimmies down the chimney to bring Christmas gifts or coal to children while they sleep.
Down the chimney.
I wrote that
getting
one, actually.
Racy,
this is the only one I wrote by myself without any help from Wikipedia or Google.
You know all about, you're a Santa expert here.
I am. And last but not least, we mentioned this one before. You all know it's my favorite, the Small World song.
It's a small world after all. That one.
Yes.
Now you're going to have to sing your head all day.
Which I sang at the top of my lungs.
Yes, Rochelle very much likes Small World.
And that is it for Pop Culture Corner. Okay, whew, that was a lot. I need to breathe now. As always, thank you for joining us. You can follow us on social media where you will see me doing the walk against the wind.
Yes, with no context.
No context at all. So follow us on social media at Friday Night Dinner Pod on Instagram, or you can email us for a chance for your email to be answered within 3 months of sending or read on the pod at FridayNightDinnerPodcast@gmail.com. If you have not yet already, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. One of the benefits of doing this is when we randomly drop episodes, you will be notified of that. And other than that, we will see you next time in Stars Hollow. And we will leave you with this.
It's a small world after all. That was like the whoa. We grew up together. And we're the worst. Bye.
Bye.